every Sunday when you come in for a little bit to kind of think about it is, I'll do a little bit of explaining today, talking about us being the blessing. And if you look over here, this acrostic says bless. I've preached this a couple times, so you'll remember it. Beseech the Lord on behalf of other people, other situations, circumstance. Beseech means to pray with your emotion also. And say, you ever prayed and you really didn't mean it? Okay, not you guys, but there are people that do it. You ever pray and you really didn't feel it? Have you ever prayed when you really didn't feel it? Yeah, which takes more faith? I really feel it, I'm into it. I don't feel anything, but I'm gonna pray anyway. Which takes more faith? Yeah, both of them take faith, right? And so, but the word beseech means that my emotion is tied to my prayer. That's like when your kid's sick. When you're praying in general, then your kid gets sick. The kid sick takes you to a Dutton and Anina. Tell me about that. Tell me what happens in your heart when there's nothing you can do, but you have hope that God can do something. What's that do? I'm helpless, but God's able. Yeah. But in prayer, we know there's hope, and there's this gap between where I'm at, what I need, and then my heart goes, I can't do it, you can't do it, but God can do it, and it engages me to pray at another level. Desperation will take you to a level in prayer that no other thing will. So whenever I'm blessing someone, or there's a circumstance, there's a situation, I go, I want to bless that situation, the first thing I do is pray. Don't talk first, pray first. Talk to God about people before you talk to people about God. Does that make some manner of sense? And so I can see situations change, and I call it secret agent praying. I love to do it, is that you're praying, they don't know you're praying, you watch the circumstance happen. Sometimes they'll blame it on God, sometimes they'll blame it on something else, but you know what happened because you were the one praying. Does that make sense? Okay, so the first thing I do is beseech. And then the second thing I do is when I'm talking to people, how many ears do I have? Two? Three? I got one that works halfway. There's a family story that just is hilarious in our family, especially with Caleb and Jude. We pulled up to a Sonic. Caleb and Jude are in the back. The lady's asking me questions. I can't hear a word that she says, so I'm answering her on what I think she's asking, but she's not asking what I think she's asking. So she asked me what drink I wanted with a meal, and I said hamburger. And for those of you that know Caleb's red hair and he's trying to keep from laughing, I look up in the mirror, his face is as red as his hair. And then Jude snickers. You ever been in a situation like that? Jude snickers, they both erupt with laughter. Now I can't hear her because they're laughing, okay? Here's what I'll tell you, and I promise you, God is not deaf. And when I pray, he hears. But the thing I want to do, two ears, one mouth, is when I'm talking to people, is listen for their need, okay? And so I'm blessing. Let's say Molly's my subject. God gives me an assignment. Bless Molly. It's hard. Some people have worse, hard lives than others. Bless her. I'll start praying for her. But second, I'm going to listen. And if you take notes, write this down. I listen with my ears, I listen with my eyes, and I listen with my heart. My heart, I'm listening to God. Somebody's talking, I'm listening to what God's saying through what they're saying. Does that make some manner of sense? Now, let me tell you what I mean when I say listen with my eyes. Have you ever had your kid tell you, this is only if you have children, everybody else just wait, okay? They tell you they're going to do something, but you're listening with your eyes, and you can tell by the attitude they have, that job right there. Does Josh ever act like that to you? Is he, at one time he did, back when he was six, is that right? Okay, right? So if I listen with my eyes, you're saying something. I don't know how many times I've heard this. People will tell you they're okay, and what do your eyes tell you? They're not okay, but they're telling you they're okay, but your eyes are going, I can tell by the tears coming down your face. I can tell by the tenseness in your shoulders. I can tell by I can tell that you just don't like that other person by the way your eyes flinched when you talked about them. Does that make sense? Okay, so if I'm going to become proficient at blessing, first of all, I have to become proficient at listening. So I bless, I listen. Number three is I engage them. Take them out to eat, buy them a cup of coffee. My wife is a very prolific cookie maker. And she will fill our house with chocolate chip cookies. And I will know, yea, even there is a blessing at the end of the day. End of the day comes, no cookies. What happened? Why does the house smell like cookies? Yea, even there are no cookies in the house. And she will go, oh, I was baking them for somebody else. They didn't need all three dozen. Some of them could have stayed at the house, right? But that is an engaging of someone else. I'm not waiting for them to engage me. I'm engaging them with kindness. And I don't know, I'm still working on this one sometime. Jesus said, when they engage me with evil, engage them with kindness. Don't return evil for evil. Contrawise, you bless. That's what you're called to in God, okay? But I'm going to make the engagement just maybe by doing something nice. Fourth thing is serve. Beseech, listen, engage, serve, and I serve according to what I heard. I was listening to you. I heard a need. Now I can serve according to that need. That will build a platform that now I can speak or give a testimony, share the gospel, share Christ. So the blessing is the foundation from which I'm using to share Christ. You go, I don't know how to bless anybody. Just remember on the other side of the church over here, okay? Pray something, say something, do something, give something. Very easy. If you're from Indiana, you can say something. If you're from south of Indiana, you just say something, okay? But I can always pray for you. It's one of the greatest blessings I can do. I can speak something. I can do something for you, or I can give something. I'll never forget the story of a friend of mine. He was a coal miner. He was used to giving. He was up to where he gave 10% of his income to the church, tithing, and then he gave another 10% by just blessing people and giving away. So he gave 20% of his income to the kingdom, 10% through his church, 10% just helping people, and then he was laid off, and he goes, I don't have the money to give that I want to give. And so what he did was, he goes, I don't have money. That's why this do and give became real to me some decades ago. And he would go, if I don't have money to give in order to help a circumstance situation, I just do something to serve. So he goes, I am laid off in coal mines, minimum income, not making much. So he goes, but there was a widow down the street and I just went and mowed her grass. That's amazing. And he goes, and then she knew another widow. And he goes, pretty soon I was mowing four widows a week for nothing. He goes, this is not working out real well. But then one of the widows actually has somebody that has some money. And they told, and he goes, that ended up, then they needed grass mowing, and they, all kinds of people need grass mowing. He goes, and pretty soon I was making enough money to live by the other grass mowings and still did the four widows a week. Because so what actually happened, he said, my doing became getting in order to give. And you don't have to do that if you don't want to, but pray something. Just, anybody ever been encouraged because somebody else just bumped into you at the right time and said the right thing at the right time? What did that do to your day? It changed everything by just a couple sentences, right? How about if you had insider information called the Holy Spirit? You had insider information on what to say at the right time to the right person that caused them to have a good day like that. Here's what I found. Whenever I'm able to cause somebody else to have a good day, guess what? Isn't it true? A couple months ago, we were at the grocery. We're always at the grocery. We spend a lot of money at the grocery. When our kids come home, we got to take out a loan. Whenever you see our boys come home, feel sorry for us and just give us some money. No, I'm kidding. No, we're in the line at Kroger. We're there a lot. We have a mailbox at Kroger. And the person in front of us could not pay their bill. And so she's thinking about what to put back. And my wife didn't even consult me. She just goes, don't worry about it, I got it. I go, what? You want some cookies, lady? And now this is true. Molly pays the lady's grocery bill, and the cashier started crying. And we have built, we're not close friends, we have built an ongoing relationship with that cashier where we walk through her with a pet dying, estrangement from her son. Just a cashier that we have an ongoing blessing relationship with just by listening and seeing and praying something, giving something, do something. Now, when the lady who didn't have enough money to pay for her groceries got blessed, guess how many days were made that day? That made the cashier's day. It really didn't make my day. Molly was really happy. I'm still kind of agitated about it. No, I wouldn't care if she did it, but why not consult me? No, it's all right. If your wife can't bless without consulting you, yeah, that's your problem, right? Okay. No, so you got this. When you come in, I want us to see this. I want us to be a reminder of us. It's a cultural thing. It's already here. It's good to kick it up. I sat in my office one, and I watched somebody do something for somebody else in the congregation. They didn't even consult me. They didn't call and say, Pastor, is it all right if I do this? They just went blessing like that Good Samaritan guy in the Bible. And I was sitting thinking, it was probably 3 weeks ago, and I just thought about what I knew and just sitting in my office kind of praying for us as a church and that kind of thing. I could think of things I knew that were going on, about 17 to 20 things that were going on that I knew about, much more I don't. And I go, this is just people in our congregation that are blessing other people just by giving something, saying something, doing something, praying something. And they're not expecting anything in return. They're just being a blessing to those folks. And so you see the banners and you came in, you go, what happened to the Jesus banners? What do we got? We believe in Jesus. I just want us to think about and have conscious before us, who can I bless this week when we come together on Sunday morning? And those are there. And I want to take a scripture and elongate it because that's what I do. And if you'll go to Proverbs chapter 11, has anybody ever woke up in the morning and God put a new verse in the Bible? Have you ever read the Bible and you go, I never read that one before. When did he sneak that one in? Have you done that? There's a word, I've studied the word a lot before, long years ago, but I found out, I looked at this word and it was in a different resource, and I go, the foundation of this word is amazing. I want to go to the word and basically look at it, but Proverbs chapter 11, verse 11. Look at the concept. I'm going to take you to a word that I just found something new that was highly interesting to me. There you go. This is in the Bible. It's not me trying to make something up or motivate you to do something. It's just a scripture, okay? By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted. You see that? The Bible says that there are regions that will be exalted because upright people bless in those environments. Now, it's not the buildings that are going to be elevated. What is it that's going to be elevated? The people in that area. So I kind of looked at it a little bit, and I go, we're here. We have Columbus, Shelbyville, Greensburg is close. Anybody know how many people are in Columbus? Do you know that in the general area, it's bigger than that, Brian? Do you know what, it is? The general area is about 52,000, something like that. This is kind of interesting. How about Shelbyville? Anybody know Shelbyville? Because it's over 20,000, about 21,000 people in Shelbyville. How about Greensburg? Greater downtown metropolitan Greensburg, around 13,000. Are there, okay? So approximately, let's say our region, approximately, because I'm going to get to something, you'll go, what? There are approximately, if around us, let's just say 100,000. Okay? Yeah. This is crazy amazing. Here's what God said. I'm going to send some blessers into that region. They will bless, and when they bless, what will happen? What does it say? Just tell me the word in the Bible. They will be exalted. Word exalted is the one that, number three, I never knew before. I've looked at exalted a lot of times from the standpoint of exalting to God. It's used a couple ways. There's a whole bunch in Psalms of exalting, right? And this one I can never get to. Here's what it says. I will exalt the Lord. That word is exalt has three meanings in Hebrew, okay? Here's number one. It means to lift to the highest place, okay? One etymologist, Hebrew scholar, said the word picture, metaphor in the ancient world is a catapult. By the blessing of the upright will people be catapulted. I go, that's kind of cool, because I always saw it from the standpoint of I will exalt the Lord. I can't catapult the Lord. Do you know that? Do you know that I cannot take the Lord to the highest place? He's already there. But when it's talking about the Lord, can I take him to the highest place in my heart? See, the Lord's already there, but when I exalt the Lord, what I do is take the Lord to the highest place in my heart. Now, Melissa and I could be standing together worshiping. She could take the Lord to the highest place in her heart, and I could be still mad at Molly for not giving me cookies she made. Does that make sense? Are we standing together? Yes. Is the Lord in the highest place? Yes. But is he in the highest place in my heart? No. So how can I catapult? How can I put in my own heart can change in 5 seconds when I see the Lord as high and lifted up. And it is, but this one is past, it is not exalting the Lord. It is that people will be catapulted to the highest place when what happens? When they're blessed. That's amazing. Now here's the second one. The second one, the third one is just amazing. The second one is to lift up. I have been lifted up. I have had a bill that I could not pay that nobody else knew about. I've had this happen several times. And somebody come by and say, the Lord told me to give you this money, and I've had at least 5 times in my life that the money they gave me was exactly, I've had it happen many times, I've had 5 times that the money they gave me was exactly what I needed for the bill or the circumstances of the situation. We went to Gatlinburg a couple weeks ago. We're driving down the road. There was a spot on that road that I had a car that died at a vet one time. Chev, not core. And a Chevette has an aluminum block engine, and it is supposed to get about 80,000 miles or so. I had one that had 123,000 miles that was going up a hill between Kentucky and Tennessee, and it just decided it was tired, and it just stopped right there. I called a friend of mine, this is just an amazing story. Called a friend of mine, guy in my church, and I go, my car just died. He said, I'll come get you. He came and got me in a car I had never seen him drive before. And I go, where'd you get this car? And he goes, it's not mine. And I go, oh, you borrowed it from a friend? And he goes, no, it's yours. I go, what are you talking about? He said, 3 or 4 of us got together. We knew that Chevette, we're mechanics. We knew that Chevette wasn't going to last very long. And so what we did this week is we bought you a car. And when my car died on the side of the road, there's a spot I can take you to. Somebody else came in a new my car and drove me off. I'm going to tell you that did something. It lifted me up. Does that make sense? So one word is exalt. The other word, sometimes you will just blow somebody away when you bless them. And it goes, the region that you are in, the people in that region will be exalted when you bless them. I go, yeah, I'd like to be parts of that. You like to be parts of that? I love to be parts of that. Okay. Other times it will lift up. Here's the third word. Third word is interesting. It ties to the second part. And I never understood the second part as much as I do once I understood the third word. And I'm going to start off like this because it sounds weird. Does anybody ever heard of anybody getting worms? You ever heard of it? In Africa, they tell us you be careful and you always wear shoes in Africa because the dirt has worms in it. And the worms will go through your feet, get into your, yeah, go ahead and shudder, right? That's what I do too. They will get in your feet, get into your system, go into your intestines and make you really sick. And people have died from worms in their bellies because a worm was in the dirt and they walked with a barefoot. When I was a kid, it doesn't hardly happen anymore, but when I was a kid, there was something called pinworms. Dan, does this still happen to people? Pinworms. When I was a kid in my little elementary school, kids were getting pinworms, and the teachers start telling us all the things to do so you don't get pinworm from your neighbor. And then they tell you these gross stories. A kid will go to sleep at night and worms will crawl out their nose and all like that. And I go, what do I have to do to not get that? Because there are six kids at my house. If one of my brothers, I ain't worried about y'all, but if one of my brothers and sisters get this in that confined environment, we're all in trouble. What do I need to do so I don't get that? Does that make sense? Anybody ever seen those little white things, maggots? That'll make you run away. In Africa, they eat them. There are places people eat worms. They just do. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Third word for exalt is this. And what the Hebrew does is take the opposite and make it better. So if exalt is the Hebrew word, exalt means to lift up. What's the opposite of that? Break down. To tear down. Now what? To exalt, there is this little root word off of a word in Hebrew means this. It means to take away from the worms. Because if something, do you see how that matches? If something falls down and decays, what's going to happen to it? Worms are going to get it. So to lift up means what? Take away from the worms. Does that make sense? And go, okay, the worms, if Mark falls down, and I go, buddy, not on my watch, the worms aren't going to get you, right? And I grab a hold of him, and I pick him up. What I did was what? Keep him from the worms. Now watch this. Watch the second part of the verse. By the blessing of the upright is the city exalted, but the mouth of the wicked, it is overthrown. Okay, I'll tie it all together in a minute. You just stay with me. You learn like my wife. This mind is ADHD, but it'll catch up in the end. First time we kind of sat and talked, we talked for hours. And I noticed one time her eyes got real wide and she's kind of laying back. Like I go, I'm sorry. I understand I can come off a little intense and all like that. And she goes, it just fell out. It wasn't one of those things she thought about. She goes, I've taught ADHD sixth grade boys before. In her mind, I'm an ADHD sixth grade boy. I just got to switch gears. I thought I was talking to a man for a minute. Okay. To deliver from the worms is what it means to exalt. Watch this. How many people in Columbus? We're going to go 52,000, 20,000, 12,000. I have a question. How many negative remarks do you think are spoken in one day? You want me to give you a litmus test? Go on Columbus Man. Come on, somebody. And just say anything. I don't care what you say. It doesn't matter what you say, what's going to happen on Columbus Man. If you say the sky is blue today, what's going to happen? Oh, I like this restaurant. Everybody in town, this restaurant sucks bad. This is terrible. How bad it is. All right, does that mean? Okay, how about if then you went on Shelbyville, then you went on Greensburg. Oh, no, wait a minute. Just get on the town of Hopes, right? How much negative, destructive communication goes into someone who lives in Hope, Indiana? How much of destructive communication goes into your, through your ears, through your eyes, through your heart? Huh? Let me show you what Solomon is writing, inspired by the Holy Spirit. This truth blew me away under very intense responsibility. As I became administrator of a school, so I'm studying about education. I spent a year studying. How do you educate? What do you, what is, there was a thing that stuck out in my mind that I heard from a psychologist that I go, how in the world can you do anything? And I go, for a public school teacher, what is it like? Here's what the psychologist said. For every negative comment that a child hears, they have to hear 7 positive comments to neutralize that one negative comment. And I go, how can I have a teacher that has a room full of kids that have heard 1,000 negative comments about who they are, what they can do, what they can become? How in the world can that ever be neutralized? Here's what I want you to know. It's very simple. Very simple. Look at this. It is, and we're going to pretend like they are worms because of the etymology of that word. How many worms get sown into people every day by the environments that they are in? Melissa has this deep Hebrew-braced word that means vast. It's called gobs. Do you think there may be gobs of worms that are infested into people's thinking and imagination and emotion every day, is simply in the good little environment we live in? You think that could be? Watch this. It does not take 7 positive comments to overcome one negative comment. It doesn't take that. It takes one blessing from a righteous person that will grab hold of them and pull them away from the worms. Lift them up, exalt them to a higher place. Isn't that good? And so you just got a new purpose in life. People, I don't know a purpose in life. I am so bad. The more I look at me on how to discern what my purpose in life is, the more depressed I get. Does anybody got an amen with that? Is all this worth it? Am I doing right? How can I make myself better? The more I look at me, the more I become like me, and the more I become like me, the more depressed I get, because the only thing I can do is look at me, and the more I look at me, the worse I, and it starts to be a negative spiral. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm just looking for who don't raise their hand, because I know you're the one that. No. Does that make some sense? And watch this. The scripture is going to say you have an eternal assignment, because all the people around you have, by the blessing of the upright is a city exalted, by the mouth of the wicked, and that word overthrown is, it is destroyed. And so every place I go, there are a lot of people that are in different levels of destruction because of the environment that they've been in. Watch what God says. I'm going to send you. I'm not
I had a situation one time, and I just told the Lord that it wasn't the best for me, and I kind of doubted his sovereignty. And are you like really as wise as you think you are? Because you have me here. I don't match here. This is not right. This is not helping me. I am not growing. This is not good at all. And I just heard the Lord say, well, you ain't there for you. How about if Jesus said, Father, I need some more mature friends to help me grow. Huh? You ain't there for you. Maybe you're there for them, that you can become what? The blesser that sees them exalted, lifted up, rescued from the worms. Does that make sense? Okay, one verse and we'll say amen. Daggone. If I get done early, can I get extra? I mean, some people, what they do, if you work overtime, they give you raises. And here, if I go under time, they tip me. So I just, no, I'm gonna take you to one verse. Show us the difference, and we just want to pray for that difference. And then just say, God, open my eyes. Let me see where I can go to bless. Is that okay? It's Acts 10:38. Proverbs 11:11 and Acts 10:38 go together. Acts 10:38 highly challenges me. Make sure you got there, or at least you're looking up on the big Bible. If you're turning your paper Bible, get there. It's the answer to 11:11. 11:11 says that that environments are devastated by negativity, negative words. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's not just the words people are saying. It's the environment and the heart that is speaking that word that will literally destroy environments. Okay? But the blessing of the upright will catapult people out of those destructive environments. Does that make sense? Our work is never done, and we still got stuff to do, right? Now watch what the Bible says, and this will challenge you. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Here's the question when I read that I ask. If Jesus needed the anointing, how much more do I need the anointing? See, I'm not just coming in trying to be a nice guy, speaking a nice thing, doing nice things for people. That is not it at all. I come from a different world called the kingdom of God. Jesus is the king. He releases an anointing that is superior to the environments that we are in, and we are blessing in his name, under his authority. So now it doesn't need to be canceled out. It is broken by the power of what Jesus did on the cross. Now people can go free. And it says he's anointed with power. People, when he does good, then there's healing. Then there's people that are broken free from the power of the kingdom of darkness. You know anybody know needs broken free from the power of kingdom of darkness? Giving them a sandwich or buying them coffee will not help them. But if buying the coffee creates an environment to release the kingdom, now the anointing that is on Christ and in Christ now becomes hope that they can be free. Does that make sense? So others will see your good works, glorify your Father, which is in heaven. I know that we're doing it right when we're doing it in Jesus' name, and the people are not just thanking us, they're giving glory to Christ. Is that good? And so what we need is the anointing, supernatural touch for a specific task, that anointing that empowers to see chains broken and people go free. Because why? The last verse. Because God is with him. My wife and I were out sitting on our deck yesterday morning, and what we were talking about was the need that we have for the manifesting of God with us. I know God's with me. I know God can help me as I help others. But what I need is that manifested by the touch of God or by the anointing that sees them go free because of the blessing that we do. Is that okay? I feel good. I had 4 points I wanted to make. I've made all 4 of them. Amen. we're going to be down here. Molly and I will be. If you go, I know somebody that needs more than church. They need more than kind words. They need more than somebody being nice to them. They need the anointing of God to break through the natural circumstance that is binding them. And we'll be down here if you want to pray with them or pray for them with us. We'll be glad to do that. If you have a need, if you have physical need, I just need a touch from the Lord in my body, we'll be here to pray. Is that good? We're going to ask you to stand. Our worship team will come. Lord, you said there's an anointing that breaks the yoke. There is actually a word empowered by your spirit, an act anointed by your hand that will bring healing, that will break free from bondage. There is a name that is superior, that is effective, that faith in that name can bring salvation and healing and freedom. We pray that the power of your spirit right now, right here, would touch lives in this place, would anoint us like you anointed Jesus. He said he was anointed to heal even the brokenhearted, to set captives free, to cause blind to see and the lame to walk. May that kind of anointing be among us. Lord, we're asking, we thank you for your presence with us. We ask that you would manifest it for the good of others and for your glory. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.